You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With rss.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at rss.com.
What's going on, everybody? Jordan from True Crime Collective, the world's most trusted source for murderabilia and true crime collectibles, and you are listening to 30 Screams or Less.
Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing is called Meat Kills. It's directed by Martin Smits, written by Paul De Vrier. I think that's how it's pronounced. I'm going with it. Starring Carol Dirks as Mirth, Emma Johnston as Nasha, and Sweater De Sita as Jonathan. As you can tell, this movie requires subtitles. Just by the names, you can just tell automatically subtitles are required. Actually, if anything, it didn't even give me the option to turn them off. It was just like straight subtitles right away.
You need them.
I need them. And I'm doing that moving forward. The plot of the movie is to join an activist group, Mirth films a pig farm's cruelty. When they return to free the pigs, they're already dead. The leader seeks revenge on the farmer's children, forcing Mirth to choose sides as violence erupts. But first, Corey, true horror story. Looked in the mirror this morning, my beard an absolute nightmare. Dry, wild, looked like it clawed its way out of a crypt.
That's terrifying, man. Did you hit it with that beard octane?
Oh yeah, beard wash, conditioner, beard oil brought it back from the dead.
Fellas, don't let your beard turn into a creature feature. Keep it alive and kicking with Beard Octane.
And right now, hit beardoctane.com, use code 30screams10, get 10% off. Save some cash and save your beard from becoming a horror show.
Bad beard day? We've had plenty. Beard Octane's the fix. We swear by it.
30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Meat Kills?
Steve, this completely flew under my radar last year, and I'm honestly mad it took me this long to catch up. Yeah. One of the bloodiest, most gut-wrenching films I've seen in a while. It starts with a very real commentary on animal slaughter for food, then flips the script and turns humans against each other in a way that's genuinely brutal. There are scenes, Jocko being boiled comes to mind, that are so long and drawn out, they're physically uncomfortable to watch.
Yep.
In the best way possible. I really love this and hope it finally gets the attention it deserves after this because not enough people are talking about it.
Yeah, man, this was great. I loved this. I went into it completely blind again. Didn't even see a trailer, nothing. I looked at our Google Keep for our notes and I'm like, oh, okay, Meat Kills. Let's go for it. I'm glad you put on that it's on Screenbox because I would have been like, where the fuck do I watch this movie? And so I started watching it and I already could tell we were going to get into some serious fucking chaos, but I was thinking a whole bunch of different things. I'm thinking this is going to be maybe more one of those like Hostel type situations. Like, do you remember in Hostel where there was like that big factory and that's where they had all the killing and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that the animal rights activists, they're going to pull some shit. They're going to go to this place and realize that it's not just a slaughterhouse. in fact that they're slaughtering humans on the side type deal. That's in like what immediately went to my head as I'm watching this movie. But man, did this movie have a ton of tug and pull to it. You didn't know who to root for in it. I was going back and forth between like empathizing with the butcher, like the slaughterhouse family. And then I was empathizing with the animal rights activists. And I'm like, man, I don't know who the fuck to pick. And there was mirth in the middle of all of it because she had feelings for Jonathan, who was the son in that butcher family, and also her dedication to the animal rights activist. So she's caught in the middle of all this. That's your main protagonist of this film anyways. So I knew right off the bat, though, Nasha was going to be bad news.
I don't know, man. I thought she was good.
You thought that?
I really did. But then we get the heel turn towards the end.
Oh, that was a big heel turn. She's so dedicated to her activism that she doesn't even fucking care. Jonathan is still a murderer to her. And obviously, we'll get to the end portion of that. But man, this is one fucking brutal movie.
We didn't mention Jonas in the opening title credits.
Jonas?
The dad.
Oh, yeah, we didn't. He had a pretty pivotal role in this as well. So he wasn't in like half this movie. And then when he shows up, actually, no, he was at the very beginning. And he broke Mirth's cell phone to make sure that she didn't take any video out of the slaughterhouse. But she did anyways, and that's how she got her in with the animal activist group. And she had like a...
He's a sick fuck, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't give a fuck. I would think if you're like in working in a slaughterhouse and you're around so much death that you become a bit desensitized to it. And I could see that later on in the film with the father who was just spiraling after Jocko died. He immediately went into like butcher mode and just seeing humans as like cattle and fucking going ballistic on them. And man, do you blame them? I mean, these animal rights activists, they just go to this family's house and do a home invasion and through their carelessness kill Jocko. Well, almost kill him. Well, no, I could say he killed him because it was like a slow death. You know, he basically looked like, what's his name from RoboCop? You know, where the toxic waste was on him and his skin was fucking melting and shit.
That whole scene was insane. Because we start with the electrocution.
Oh, that was gnarly. Absolutely gnarly. You know, because...
So...
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know if that's actually... Like, I don't know how these things are done other than the bolt gun. Mm-hmm. Like, I know the bolt gun is very real. I don't know about the electrocution. Yeah. But they have this thing that they, like, put on a pig's head that basically connects to the temples. And it just shoots electrical current. Mm-hmm. And they can control the voltage.
Yeah.
Well, they put this thing on Jocko's head. And they start low and slow. And it's, I mean, low and slow. This scene is so drawn out.
Yeah.
Jocko is like, you know, still being an asshole. Fuck you, while he's getting zapped. So they crank the thing up to his eyes. It can go.
Dude is fucking eating it the whole time. Like, just fuck you. You're like, just you bitch, blah, blah, blah. And just going off on them after like they've just been electrocuting him for God knows how long because they cut away from that scene to like do other stuff. And we go back and he's still being electrocuted. So we don't know if that's been like a half hour or something. And he's just constantly getting electrical current straight to the brain. And then obviously, like you said, they crank the thing up all the way. He's still eating it, but at some point he falls down and you see him like convulsing a little bit and like spitting up, but he still gets up and fucking maniac.
So we skipped the part. We'll go back to this. Yeah, we skipped the part where Jonathan gets his ear pierced.
Oh, oof. Yeah, that was brutal.
With this is what they do to pigs. They tag them. Mm-hmm. They did this to Jonathan.
Yeah. And I'm not justifying it, right? But pig's ears, we're talking probably like this. Like it's a fucking monstrosity. It flops over, right?
Mm-hmm.
And human ears, not really that big, right? So she's like jamming this thing right there. And it's like fucking his whole ear, basically. And there's blood everywhere.
She just like, oh, you just got your ear pierced.
Yeah, it's just an ear piercing.
So that part was pretty gnarly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, back to the scene with Jocko. Because the electrocution wasn't enough, there's a scalding tank, yep. which is what they use to remove the hair from a pig.
Right.
Oh, they put Jocko's face in it.
Accidentally, by the way. Like, so Nasha had like this Rambo-type fucking knife thing.
Oh my God, yeah, it was huge.
It was massive. And
it was like a sword, basically.
It looked like a sword, like almost... part machete, part sword. It was a big fucking thing. So he attacks Nasha and gets this, I don't know, pseudo sword from her. And he's holding it to Nasha, and Mirtha ends up stabbing him in the foot with a screwdriver. Where the screwdriver came from, I don't know. Maybe they're using that for the fucking animals too. Maybe back up, who knows. But Nasha kicks him, and he goes flying back right into the boiling vat there. And he's just, he's halfway, like his body's halfway in and scalding him. And Mirtha is also in there trying to like pull him out because she didn't sign up for that. She didn't sign up for basically murdering people. She just signed up to be like an animal rights activist. But instead, now she's thrown into this impossible situation where she's got empathy for the wrong people when she knows she shouldn't. So let's talk about the daughter. One of the animal rights activists, I can't remember the girl's name, but she goes upstairs. And my guess is it's like her job to just kind of watch over any little ones while fuckery is happening in other rooms. So the daughter is, and it's important I bring this up because this girl is very pivotal at the end.
Out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
From the top rope at the end.
Yeah. She was the equivalent of like in wrestling, you know, when all the wrestlers are gathering together and they're all fighting on the outside. She's just climbing the ropes and does a front flip off into everyone.
That's pins the whole mess of dudes in the ring.
Exactly. That is like her role at the end of this movie. And you wouldn't think that because I think she's dying of cancer because she was like extremely sick. And, you know, she's burning up in bed. She looks like she's on the verge of death. But that was never really explained. We're just assuming that, you know, she was really sick of something. So at this point, it's basically a home invasion movie. And I'm empathizing with the slaughterhouse family. And the reason I'm doing that is because that's just their job. I mean, it's a shitty job, but do you really do a home invasion and like just start murdering them?
But it could go either way. Like I was reading online, people doing like a deep dive into this. Meat kills could go either way, right? Because in this particular film, the humans are killing the pigs for food. I mean, that's just what happens in this world.
Right.
But can also be interpreted as the humans killing each other.
Oh,
the meat.
You're right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because in reality, they were all just bad people in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one was good. Maybe Mirth was a little more virtuous than the others.
She was, and she was, like, trying to be good, like you said before.
Yes.
And the other group of people she was trying to get in with, I mean, they lived in a fucking... Reminded me of that scene out of Jason Takes Manhattan,
mm-hmm.
where you have that gang that lives in, like, the alley.
Yeah, okay, I can see that.
You know
that.
What I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So that was basically the same type of crew here, I feel like. They're living in this alley, you know?
Yeah, I can see that. So you know what? I did want to talk about one part, and this is really how you get introduced to the whole crew. They're doing like a demonstration for one of their protests, and one of the members is upside down, and he's pretending to be cut down the middle of the chest, and fake blood is coming out, and they're just like, this is what happens with pigs in these places. And it's important I bring that up because that makes a comeback in the most vile way.
It does. But like I made a note about that particular scene. Like, even though it was staged, it looked so fucking real.
It really did. Yeah. It wasn't as red as like blood would be, but it was still pretty fucking realistic looking. I mean,
yeah, it looked good.
You just see, it almost looks like they're cutting down the shirt at least, and then you see just fake blood come out. Later on, though, the real thing really happens. Like, where he just gets a knife in the stomach and then just, you know, pulled down, and then there goes the intestines and everything. Man, this movie was violent. Absolutely violent. Actually, I love the practical effects in this movie.
Yeah, they looked really good. I made a comment about that scene with Jocko getting his face boiled off. Like, the practical effects here and the makeup?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. I'd be curious what the budget for this one was because they did a lot with whatever they had.
You know, that's a good point because there was some great practical effects. The makeup looked amazing on Jacko, like you said. And you even saw like the hair like just being pulled off because obviously with that of boiling whatever the fuck it is, it's like removing hair from animals. So naturally, whatever hair Jacko had left is easily just being pulled off. And the father is trying to console his son, and his son dies in his hand. So naturally, this is where the father starts diving into depravity. Because at that point, if you were to watch your child be murdered in front of you, how would you feel about that?
Yeah, I can imagine that it would set a person off, similar to what happened in this.
Yeah. I mean, that guy's wife died not too long ago, from what I gather. So now he's lost his wife, and now he's lost his son. And it's all because, in his eyes, of animal rights activists killing his family members. So now he's going into straight butcher mode and saying, fuck these people. No one knows you're here, so I'm going to do whatever the hell I want. Mm-hmm. And one of the deaths, man, the tractor to the fucking, oh my God, fucking
squashed.
Brutal. So what happened in that scene was there was three of the animal rights activists chained up. The father managed to get them chained up, and I didn't know what he was going to do with it just yet. All I know is that he was holding them basically hostage because, like, he's trying to make sure that he finds Jacko and that he finds the other people and that who knows what he's going to do. At that point, I think he's kind of winging it. But then as soon as Jacko dies, that's when he is straight, like, horror territory. Now, I'm like, okay, this is now when I emphasize with the animal rights activists. Because at first I'm like, man, a home invasion thing, I just hate home invasions. It gets me, man. I'm just not a fan of the home invasion thing. A lot of people, they enjoy that shit, but it freaks me out.
Thanks for giving me something else that makes you tick.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I don't like them. I have a good reason for that. But I don't like home invasion shit. And seeing that, I'm immediately empathizing with the slaughterhouse family. And then it flips. Just absolutely flips. And now we're seeing the fucking insanity of slaughterhouse family as they find out Jacko's dead. And, you know, Jonathan being getting his ear pierced and all this shit. So now it's more of the family, the slaughterhouse family, is after the animal rights advocates. And it really had you flipping back and forth between who to root for and who you want to be like, oh, fuck these people. And again, like you said, in reality, none of them were really good people. They were all just, I don't know, fucking bad in their own right.
I think the only two people in this movie that could be considered good would be Mirth and Jonathan.
I could see that.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
Jonathan just got the shit end of the stick.
Yeah.
And then got the shit kicked out of him by his own dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Jonathan was kind of in a bad situation where he didn't really have a good relationship with his father, and his father lost it and beat the shit out of him. So that obviously puts Jonathan more in a situation where he would probably side against his father, but I don't know if he'd side with the animal rights activists because he was working in the slaughterhouse, but at least not to the scale of like the father's depravity, because that guy, dude, there was so much foreshadowing in this. Like the room where I saw a little buzzsaw, and I'm like, oh, that's going to be used later. And we see one of the animal rights activists getting cut up very similar to that of Hostel, just in pieces and thrown into a bucket and just wheeled out. I'm like,
just casually, yep.
Just casually wheeled out. I'm like, man, this is fucking chaos. Yeah, we're kind of bouncing around all over the place on this one.
That's fine. I don't want to spoil it all.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it all. I want to say this might be arguably some of the, like, probably one of the bloodiest movies I've ever seen.
Yeah, easy.
Easy. So we all know that Evil Dead, the remake, is arguably the bloodiest film of all time because it's raining blood. There's just blood everywhere. And then you have Headless, which...
Oh, yeah.
That's up there, blood-wise.
I was thinking the other day that I need to find a movie similar to that that we can watch.
No, I don't want to watch that.
Maybe one of the guinea pig movies.
Guinea pig movies? What do you mean?
Yeah, I was listening to this. You've never heard of guinea pig?
No.
Oh, my God. It's like this Japanese horror, like borderline snuff film series.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
And I was listening to a podcast the other day about this Japanese serial killer whose name was Tetsumo Miyazaki, who apparently got his inspiration from the second guinea pig movie.
Oh my God. So So this is where they talk about like movies and video games make people kill. And then like us gamers like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And lo and behold, we have a serial killer who was influenced by a sequel of a movie. Are you looking it up? Are you trying to show me what it is?
100%.
Oh, God. I'm about to get a message in just a second from Corey showing me. But is that the guy who killed like 300 people?
No.
No, because there is a serial killer who's got like a 300 kill streak. I'm saying it like it's fucking video games, Corey.
The film's plot concerns a man dressed as a samurai who drugs and kidnaps women and proceeds to take her to his home where he dismembers them and adds their body parts to his collection. Guinea Pig 2 garnered controversy both in Japan and in the United States. I'm pretty sure the whole series is banned here.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. The film was reportedly withdrawn from the home video market and was suspected to have been an influence on Tsutomu Miyazaki, a serial killer who abducted and murdered four young girls. That was his thing. They were like, I think, between 5 and 7.
Oh,
yeah.
Fuck. It's awful, dude. That's an awful person right there. I mean, I'm not saying serial killers are good at all, but ones that kill kids, nope. Those are bad.
So
bad
another bit about this, though, Charlie Sheen is said to have watched the film and became convinced that it had generally depicted the killing and dismemberment of an actual woman, prompting him to contact authorities.
So they actually thought it was real, or he thought.
Yeah,
it was,
because that's how they're shot. They look, I guess it's like hyper realistic.
Yeah. You know what that reminds me of? Do you remember the movie 8mm?
The Nick Cage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love
that. Yeah, the snuff film.
Yeah, I love that movie. It's like, you know, he's trying to verify the authenticity of a snuff film, and he meets Joaquin Phoenix's character, who brings him into the underbelly of the porn world, and one of them was snuff films, and they were so hyper-realistic that they were questioning if it was real, but then they realized it's the same actress in both movies, and it's like, okay, this is just hyper-realistic. But, man, snuff films, that's going to be a fucking awful thing to watch. Yeah, no, especially those kind. Those are fucked up.
Yeah, in the early 1990s, American film critics purportedly met actor Charlie Sheen and gave Sheen a copy of this movie. What the fuck?
Hey, Charlie, I know we were just reviewing this movie, but we thought you'd like to check it out. Okay.
Isn't that right around the time that he was spiraling too?
In the 90s?
Was it?
No.
Oh, no, it was like early 2000s that happened,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, early 2000s that happened. Probably around 2013. That's what I'm going to say. Because I solely remember this. I was working at a job in Bedford, New Hampshire. And there was a sign at this, I don't know, I think it was a car company. And it was like, I've got tiger blood through my veins, running through my veins. And that's like, that was one of those like signs that was changing automatically type deal, like a digital sign. And I remember this because that's when I roughly worked that job. So it had to have been around 2013, 2014. So a while ago at this point.
Yeah, because were you with us when we saw him in Boston? I don't remember.
No, I wasn't. But I heard that was not great, right?
I think he walked out.
He walked out?
Yeah, he was known for walking out of the walking out of the shows.
Yikes. Can you imagine?
Because he was getting booed so much.
Well, is he really a comedian?
I don't even know what it was. More of him just telling like his stories about drug use and stuff like that. It wasn't comedy.
No. So just a spoken word thing then. Just like
2011.
Just the life of Charlie Sheen, like stand up.
It was called the My Violent Torpedo of Truth, Defeat is Not an Option Tour.
Okay. It's a long name.
Yeah, it was dumb.
Yeah.
I can't believe I paid money for that. And I paid like, still to this day, it's the most money I've ever paid for a t-shirt at an event.
How much?
$60.
Ooh, that's up
for
there.
A t-shirt.
Yeah, it's usually, I like the general price now is like $40 to $50, right?
Yeah.
Unless you go to something like Taylor Swift and it's probably $75.
Dude, I was shocked. We went and saw Nine Inch Nails late last year and they, their merch was like $35,
something
like 40 that. Bucks for a shirt.
It wasn't disgusting.
No, that was, I was surprised because like we saw Linkin Park last year too, and their shirts are like $50, $55.
It's crazy. Hey, I mean, our shirt's currently in a boutique store as retro or something like that, a collectible. And I think they're selling it for $70.
It's still there?
It might be. I don't know. I haven't checked.
No one's buying that. It's still there.
It probably is. Can you imagine if someone bought it? I don't know, man. I've seen Joji wear our shit. Who knows?
Joji?
Yeah. You know, Dirty Frank?
What?
Filthy Frank? I'm sorry. Filthy Frank?
No, you're talking about.
You don't know who I'm talking about? Okay. Well, randomly, I get this photo of him wearing our shirt. And I'm like, when the fuck did he get this? I'm the one that sends out these shirts. Where the hell did he get this? But yeah, Filthy Frank, he must have gone to one of our shows once. And
Filthy Frank?
Yeah, look him up. He's like a YouTuber. But yeah, he goes by Joji now.
Oh, okay. Oh, and Pink Guy.
Yeah. You see his meme all over the place.
Oh, man, Pink Guy was so bad, too.
Yeah, he was more like, you remember the meme of Bane and then Pink Guy's in the background? Like, what?
Oh, that's yeah. That's him. I never knew this was the same person.
Yeah, same person. I got to find that picture because I thought it was pretty wild to see that.
Filthy Frank.
Filthy Frank. Shit, what do we want to talk about? Because I know, this movie's so good that I don't want to give much of it away. I just know that it's ultra violent and it makes you feel a lot of things. And I don't think a lot of horror movies do that. They don't make you feel like really toy at your heartstrings. And I feel like this really toyed at your heartstrings. Like you just didn't know which way to go when it came to rooting and stuff like that. And you're just enjoying the ride. I can tell you this, that I had to pause this movie a whole bunch because I found myself not taking notes.
Mm-hmm. Yep, because, happened to me.
Yep, which is a good sign. It means that I'm like hyper focused on the movie and enjoying it and then forgetting that I have a job to do.
A job?
Yeah. I'm just like, oh shit, I got to make sure that I'm taking notes properly because what the hell else are we going to talk about? So I find myself sitting there and I'm watching a movie. I'm like, fuck, I'm reading subtitles, I'm watching this movie, I'm forgetting to take notes. So I pause it and I write my notes down. And then I turn it on again. And I must have done this like 4 or 5 times because I was just like so honed in on it. And that's a good sign right there. And, you know, you would think that me pausing the movie is automatically a bad sign because typically if I'm pausing it, I'm seeing how much time is left.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, which I did, but that's not the reason why I was pausing it.
You just wanted it to end?
Yeah, I just wanted it to end. I felt gutted.
You felt like you were watching that bunker movie again?
Oh, God. Yeah, that bunker movie, man. It's a lost episode, everyone. You'll never hear it unless you want to hear all Corey's audio. It's just a whole thing of Corey talking and me not recording properly. And I should have tested better. You know, that's on me. I was recording in the basement at my dad's house while I was in between homes.
It worked out, though. That episode doesn't need to see the light of day.
No, it's not a good movie.
Nobody wants to listen to just me talk to myself.
No, you sure?
Yep.
All right. You never know. Maybe. So, Corey, I think we can just get into it at this point because...
Wait, before we do that, yeah. I just want to say, I read, I know you like this, trivia.
Yeah.
So on IMDb, there's only one note, but this marks the first ever Dutch horror movie with an 18 plus classification. For us in America, that means NC-17.
Not surprised at all. I didn't realize that was an NC-17 movie, but I can see it.
Yeah.
Because damn, that was violent. It was so violent. The ending of the movie as well. I want to talk about it.
No, leave it.
Oh man. But like, I'll just say
we kind of talked about it before.
I'll just say this. It'll leave you absolutely gutted. It's one of those gutted endings that you love.
It's tasty, not happy endings.
It is a miserable ending that I don't know, man. It's a miserable ending, but I loved it because it made sense. And it was crazy. I loved it. You're going to have to watch it with subtitles, though. That's for sure. But it's on Screambox. And now I think we can go into our review. Fuck, I really wanted to talk more about this, but I want people to see it. So,
agreed.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know we're a review podcast and we're supposed to talk about the movie, but essentially we're raving the whole time about this thing. And when we're raving about it, we don't want to save you the time from watching it. We want you to actually watch it. Whereas the other ones, we don't fucking care. You know, we'll shit talk it.
Shit,
we'll give it all away.
Yeah, if it's shit, we'll spoil it all day.
Exactly. We'll spoil it all day and save you the time. And we watch the movies so you don't have to. But you should definitely watch this one. And with that said, Corey, what do you give Meat Kills?
So this is a 5 out of 5, obviously. Mm-hmm. This movie was perfect. Not pretty good. Not surprisingly solid. It was perfect. My butthole was clenched for the entire runtime like it was doing unpaid overtime. No slow burn, no padding, no mercy, just nonstop tension trying to ruin my nervous system. Bart Oman absolutely steals the film as Jonas and should immediately be cast as the next iconic slasher, the second Hollywood remembers it ran out of ideas again because the man is a brick shithouse.
Yeah.
Meat Kills is deeply upsetting, and I loved every second of it.
So what do you think? James McAvoy going to be in it?
Fuck, why not?
Why
he
not?
He was huge in what was that other movie? What the fuck was that?
What did they call it?
Speak No Evil?
No, they called Speak No Evil in the U.S. too. Okay.
See No Evil was the one with Kane.
Yes, that's right. That's a whole different movie. But he's still a brick shithouse in it.
Yeah, man. And Kane could be this guy too.
Exactly. Have Kane be that guy? That'd be interesting. Listen, I'm going to take a break from being a mayor of some town to just film a horror movie where I'm like a butcher.
No, but seriously, the guy, this Bart Oman guy, like he needs to be a villain in more movies.
Yeah, he was perfect.
I would love to talk to that guy. We got to find a way to do it.
Do we need a translator? That's the question.
Let me contact his agent.
Yeah, and we have to like talk to him and Google translation. All right, I'm going to go into mine now. So I'm going to go with a 5 out of 5 on this as well. Meat Kills is an exceptionally effective and unsettling film that constantly shifts the viewer's allegiance. You begin by empathizing with the slaughterhouse family, only for that sympathy to erode as grief pushes them into increasingly depraved territory following Jacko's death. The film demands full attention. As I mentioned, I stopped taking notes at points, and I had to pause so I can make sure I'm noting what I can so we can do this friggin' podcast. Between the subtitles and the relentless tension, I often found myself pausing simply to keep up, occasionally forgetting that I was even taking notes because I was so absorbed in this movie. The practical effects are outstanding, the score is haunting and well-timed, and the ending is utterly devastating, completely gutting. So you're going to fucking love it. Ultimately, there are no true heroes here. Every character is compromised in some way, and that moral ambiguity is exactly what makes this film so effective. But damn, good movie. Good pick, Corey. I wish this didn't fall into the radar. I wish we could have watched it in 2025 when we could have reviewed it when it dropped. You know, give it a little bit more exposure. Hey, maybe this will help give it some exposure too. So, but yeah, great movie. If you want to check out Meat Kills, you can watch it now on Screenbox. All right, everyone, help out our algorithm by liking, following, and subscribing to us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, YouTube, and Slasher. Yes, all of them. No, we're not sorry.
Leave us a 5-star review on every podcast platform you use so strangers can also regret listening to us. Tell your friends too, because misery loves company.
Our intro and outro music is courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Go listen to him on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to buy it immediately like a responsible adult.
We're part of the Shining Wizards Network. Wrestling, heavy metal, horror, basically everything your parents warned you about. Go check them out at shiningwizardsnetwork.com.
Visit 30screamsorless.com to buy some merch.
Want us to review something? Contact us through our website or scream into the void on social media. Same difference.
Also, freshen up your face with Beard Octane and save some money while you're at it. Be sure to use the code 30screams10 at checkout to save 10% off your order because your beard deserves better than neglect and regret. Smell good, look alive, and scare people for the right reasons. I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.